Well, good morning again to everybody. It's great to have all of you here today as we get into God's Word. Hope that you will have picked up your Sunday bulletin as you were coming in. Inside, of course, is our custom. It's your life point outline. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to pull that out as we get right into it today. I know that the Father has a message for us. He's been working this into my heart. Actually, all of my ministerial life. From the moment that he brought me into the kingdom. And from time to time in my life, God reminds me of the truths that I want to share with you today. And so I pray that it will speak to your heart because God is wanting you to understand this. It is important for you to understand this so that you have a grasp and you can deal with the things that are going to be happening in your life, because a lot of times what happens in our life just doesn't make sense. And we don't understand what is going on. And there is a purpose and a plan in all of that. And I want to talk about that today. If you notice, we're talking about the gifts of God to us at Christmas. Pastor Todd's brought you some. I've done that. And then today, we're talking about the gift of purpose. The gift of purpose in our days, and the gift of purpose in the pain of our life, the challenges that we face, the dark times that we face, where we don't understand what is going on in our life. And so what I want to do, I want us to begin this morning with prayer, and I want us to pray specifically for some things. I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray and to ask God that he would grant you clarity, that he would give you clarity about where you are at this time in your life. And I know that if you are like me, there are some perplexing things that are going on in your life, because they certainly do in mine. And that perplexity is part of God's journey with us, and I want you to understand that. I want you to pray for clarity, and I want you to pray also that God will give insight to you with regards to his purpose for you that is being played out, listen, in the perplexity of your days. Because one of the challenging things that we go through is that life happens to us and we don't understand why God would permit that to happen. And perplexity happens, and we feel like God's not answering us. God's not speaking to us. He's not talking to us. He's quiet. He's not saying anything. You begin to think, is there something wrong with me? Have I done something to offend him? And what God is doing is that he is being sovereign in his insight in your life. And God says, I want you to understand, I am in the days of perplexity of our lives. And here's what God is doing. I want you to understand this, because he's just reminded me of this in a fresh way over the last several days. Actually, ever since I began this journey of releasing my position as senior pastor here and getting ready to step into my new role as pastor emeritus, and what God's got for me in my next part of the journey. And that is that God is working every day of my life to shut me up to faith. And what that means is that God's will for me is that I walk in perplexity, that I go through some days of my life where I don't understand what is happening. And when I call out to him, he doesn't say anything. He's not talking to me, and he's quiet. And it's like I'm cut off from heaven. It's like I'm in the dark, and I don't understand. And it doesn't matter how many times this happens to me, every time it happens again, it's like it's for the first time. And I'm brought back again to realize through the Holy Spirit working in me that there are times that God is going to shut me up to nothing but faith. And I make every step that I make based on what God's done in the past, on what God is saying to me in the Word, and I trust him for the future. Does that make sense? And so God has for us at Christmas the gift of purpose. I want us to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. We're going to read that, but I want us to pray. So would you just stand before the Lord? Those of you that are at home and watching, you can sit or you can stand. I want you to have the experience that you are here with us and you are in this with us. And so you may just stand wherever you are before the Lord. And so, Father God, thank you this morning for the truth of Scripture, and that, Father, you have a plan in our lives. And our lives are in your hands. And we need clarity about that, Father. We need to be reminded of some truths as we go through this world, that you have a purpose in my life, in the life of each individual man and woman that is here. And each of us face perplexities in our days. And the cause of the perplexities are ultimately to bring us to where we are shut up to faith. There is nothing else for us to do but to trust you. And you've given us so many examples in the Word of the men and women of God who were shut up to faith. And they trusted you when it didn't make sense. They trusted you when they couldn't see two steps in front of them. They trusted you when things were taken out of their lives. They trusted you. And you have always proven yourself faithful. But before that takes place, we pass a test. And we think each time, I've learned it. And then we learn it again in a new and a fresh way. And so this morning, Father, may we celebrate this gift of Christmas, the gift of purpose in our days and our pain, that it isn't just happenstance, there's a plan. And so thank you, Lord, and we bless you now. Open our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and help us to understand your way and your walk with us, that real joy can rule in our hearts during this Christmas season. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. 1 Chronicles 29, 11. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. Now, what does he mean? He means this world that you and I live in and the days of our life. The days of our life are in his kingdom. The days of my life, the days of your life, this world that we live in, is it within the kingdom of God. God rules and reigns over everything. And then he says, we adore you as the one who is over, the one who is in control of all things. God is in control of everything that pertains to my life and yours. And that also extends to your family. Your family, through whom God brought different ones into this world. God is working and is providentially overseeing everything in their life as well, because they have to do with you who are part of his kingdom. So today I want us to focus on the sovereignty of God in our lives. And I believe this is one of the blessed gifts of Christmas. God gave us Romans 8 and 28 as a gift. That is a gift to us. And God tells us in that he will work everything in my life and your life to our good within the call and the plan that God has for your life and mine. So he's going to work everything to our good within the context of his call and his purpose for us. And so look at the first truth in your outline. The sovereignty of God means that God is in control. That we just remember that. We hang on to that. What does that mean? It means God is in control of the ups and the downs of my life. God is in control of the additions of my life. But that also means God is in control of the subtractions of my life and yours. Everything that has happened in the life of me as a son of God, everything that's happened in the life of you as a woman or a man of God, listen, that's part of your story. It's part of what God wants you to use in telling your story to a lost and a dying world. It is part of God's sovereign purpose for you in His call on your life and how you're going to make Him known to a lost and dying world. Don't underestimate the additions and the subtractions of your life. Did you just listen to what I said? This is where you'd say yes. Okay. Just. God is over all of that. And the additions and the subtractions of my life are part of my story. They're how I talk about my God. They're how I relate my God to the people that get into my life. And the Bible says everything in my life and your life as a child of God is moving toward a focus. I never am to forget that there is a master plan in play. There is a purpose in the days of my life and yours. Why? Because we are in Christ. Write down this verse, Acts 17, 23 through 28. I never tire of reading that verse. I get brought back to it time and time again. In Acts 17, 23 through 28, Paul declares the sovereignty of God in our lives. And what he tells us is, he said, in the sovereignty of God, God determined when you and I were going to be born. God decided in His sovereignty where we were going to be born. And God determined in our sovereignty, He's already determined how long you and I are going to be on this planet. The day of my birth and the day of my death is already determined. That is the sovereignty of God working in me. And God determines my natural abilities, and He determines yours. He determined the gifts that you have, the spiritual gifts, and He's determined mine as well. And listen, don't start being braggadocious about what you're able to do, how that you maybe are better than somebody else in certain things or whatever. You're not better in that because of you. You're better in that because of what God gave you. You need a little humility that you've got what you've got because God gave it. You didn't deserve or earn the talents that you've got. They are gifts, and they were given to you by an almighty God for a reason. And it's part of your journey here on this earth, and it's part of your story. People naturally ask, do I even have a choice if God is in control of everything? And the answer to that is yes and no. There is freedom. I have freedom in my life. You have freedom in your life, but it is limited. There are boundaries in our life beyond which I cannot go and you cannot go. I don't have, and neither do you, have total freedom. And I want to tell you something. That is a comfort for a child of God, as it means God is sovereignly working in my life, and there are times in my life, God gives me a door, and there are times sovereignly in my life, God gives me a wall. There are times I've got abilities to move and to go and to do, and then there are times I am hemmed in and I cannot move and I cannot change in my life no matter what I do. That's His sovereign control. It's like being on an ocean liner, and let's say you're going to England, and you every day, you can get out of your room and you can go to one deck or the other. You can eat wherever you want. You can eat as much as you want. And you've got lots of freedom on that boat. But no matter what you choose to do, at the end of the trip, you're going to be in England. Why? Because that's where the ship's headed. And that's what God is saying. We've got a lot of freedom in our life, but ultimately, we're going to wind up where God wants us to be, because God's got a plan in our life. Now, the Christmas story of Mary and Joseph is a prime example of how God gives purpose to our days and how God gives purpose to our pain. Mary and Joseph, just like you this morning, yielded their lives to the plan of God. And the call of God on their life was to earthly parent the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to parent the Messiah. And in saying yes to that, they also said yes to the pain that was going to come from taking up that ministry. And when they took baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated, you remember in Luke 2:35, Simeon, who was there, he looked at Mary, and she had said yes to God. She said, yes, I want to serve him. And Simeon said, a sword will pierce your very soul in this work that you're doing. In God's call and plan, God gives me purpose. God gives you pathway. But God will also give you pain. It's part of the journey. And I want to talk about that this morning. So Mary is an example to you and me that our walk with God in this broken and sin-influenced world will of necessity. We're going to have stops. We're going to have detours. We're going to have losses. We're going to have gains. We're going to have the heavy fog of confusing events. And it is all about this. My life and your life in this broken, sin-cursed world gives me an opportunity to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world that doesn't know him so that they can understand our great God and that he's worthy of my worship. And even though I go through some difficult times that don't make sense to me, I know my God is on his throne and I love him and I yield myself to him because I want to serve God's purpose in my life. Now here's the point this morning. Maybe this morning you came in or you're listening online and you're in a fog of confusion. As a child of God, your journey is going to be a part of your story. And that's what I want you to understand. It is how you're going to bring Jesus into this world. That's what it's going to be. And so here's the truth question in your outline. God is sovereign over the joy and the pain of our lives. What do we need to embrace? And you ask yourself, what do I need to embrace to make the most of my times that are out of my control? What do I need to embrace? And so let me just break this down for you in things that make sense to me. And that is, number one, our plans have a limit. Our plans have a limit. Proverbs 19:21 from the Good News says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 16, verse 1. We may make our plans, but it is God who has the last word. Now, what is God saying to me? God is saying, John, as you walk with me, I want you to never forget the reality that I'm God and you're not. I've got a purpose and I've got a plan for you, and I want you to trust me in the starts and the stops of your life. What that means is, if I'm going to walk with my Father, I have to always remember things don't always go the way I plan. Amen. Now, some of you, that was worth the price of admission this morning right there. Yeah. You're saying, oh yeah, I'm good. That's what I needed to hear. And that's the reality. Things don't always go as we plan because God is in control. And the truth in your outline, our eternal home is secure, but the plans we make down here, listen, are tentative. God decides the limitations of our life. God decides the starts and the stops of our life. Now listen, what am I doing this morning? You're saying, I tell you, you're meddling. No, I'm trying to give you something that is going to bring peace to the confusion of your days. And the peace that brings confusion is that you realize our Father is sovereign. God is in control of the ups and the downs of my life. And in God's world, what God is permitting or what God is sending is always for a purpose. Nothing is happening in my life that is random. So let me give you a couple of attitudes Let's talk about the wrong life attitude, number one. This is in your notes. And the wrong life attitude is presumption. As a child of God, you and I are being presumptuous when, as children of God, we make a business plan without praying. I want to open this business. That's great. I've seen a lot of people make a lot of money doing this. Probably did. The question is not, is that what you want to do? The question is that what you ought to do? Should you do that? How do you know? You pray about it until you get some direction. Why? Because acting without praying is presumption. To set life goals without praying is presumption. It's presumption. God says that life down here in this broken world is uncertain. We have no idea what's going to happen this afternoon, do we? Right? We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. There are things happened yesterday surprised us. We didn't see those things coming. And that is because I cannot see ahead and you can't see ahead. And it is a mistake when I presume that my plans will not fail, nor will they be hindered. And a lot of times whenever our plans get hindered, believers start crying and wailing, saying, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know why God is mad at me. God's not mad at you necessarily, but it may very well be because you started doing something you never asked God for where you ought to. Because if you do a plan, you start doing something and you haven't prayed about it, that's presumption. James 4, 13 through 15. Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow, we go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You see, it's okay to make plans as long as I understand my plans are tentative. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Many Christians, because they haven't done that, There are many Christians today who are not in houses of worship. They're like Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me and has gone back into the world. Demas went back into the world. And there are a lot of believers who are not in houses of worship today because of the very reason. They've ceased to worship God. Why? Because they believe God, listen, let them down. God did not come through. Meaning, the future that they planned fell through. That's what it means. It didn't happen like I thought it was supposed to. And the truth in your outline, prudent believers make business plans, set life goals, raise their family with plans and dreams, but they realize in the end, God has the final word. You always remember that. Well, what's the right attitude? The right attitude is cooperation. When we make plans, we make them with prayer. And there's insight in your outline. Plans without prayer is presumption. I was taught this biblical truth. I didn't even know that's what I was being taught. It was being taught by my mama, Alpha Green. And I can't tell you the number of times when I was growing up and at home that I hear mothers say, well, we're going to do this tomorrow, or we're going to do that, or we're going to go here, we're going to go there. And then she would always, and I mean always, mama would always, after she'd say that, she'd say three words, the Lord willing, every time. And I was taught that even when I didn't even know what that meant. But she would always say, the Lord willing. Let me tell you mom's story. Mother learned to cooperate with God's plan. Alpha Green married the love of her life, and that was my daddy, Weston. She wanted to marry him. Mama wanted to have kids and see them grow up and have grandkids, and then her die of an old age, having lived a life that was blessed. I mean, who doesn't want that? There were three children born to Alpha and Weston Green. Betty Catherine, Patricia Ann, John Warren. I was a runt of the litter. Patricia Ann was born with a congenital birth defect. Mama never really knew what the issue was. I guess they weren't able to put a name on it. But it left Patricia Ann unable to be able to support herself. She couldn't walk. She couldn't sit up on her own. So that meant Mama had to hold her or prop her up or hold her most all the time. And on top of that daily challenge of this young mother, Patricia Ann developed whooping cough and pneumonia at the same time. And Patricia Ann went home to be with the Lord at the age of 19 months. At Patricia's burial, Mom told me this again and again throughout my life, the men were lowering Patricia's casket into the ground, and one of the men lost his grip on the rope, and the casket went to the side and fell. Nothing more horrible could happen, of course, to a young mother and their little one. And Mom told me so many times, she said, I told him, you got to bring it up. You got to bring it up. I got to know she's all right. I got to know she's laid out just fine and that she's not, you know. So Mom made him open the casket and make sure that Patricia's body was as it should be. Mother's faith never failed, but it wavered. She had to come to grips with a lot of things. I know that because she and Daddy went 9 years before they had me. Mom came to embrace God's sovereign plan that Patricia Ann's journey on this earth was only going to be 19 months. She had to come to a place of embracing that. That was not her plan. That was God's plan. That was our Father's plan. And Proverbs 16:9 says, we make plans. We should make plans, counting on God to direct us. That's cooperation. And one thing that I'll let you know about my mom's faith, from the day I was born until the day I walked out of the house and went my own way, Mama always made sure that her family was in the house of the Lord on Sunday and worshiping the Lord God. Mama kept her faith, and she embraced loss, and she embraced difficulty. She embraced, why would God let a woman who sought to please him and would raise her family to know him, why would he take her little daughter at such an early age? Mama never understood why. But she never stopped worshiping him. Which brings me to number two. God has a purpose in the good and the bad times. There's a purpose. The sunshine and the rain are needed in my life and yours. And God controls, listen, God controls the seasons of my life. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Now listen, if you forget that, you'll get frustrated and hurt and embittered by the things God permits or sins into your life. And what God has just told us is, he said, there is a time for everything. There is a season for everything that happens. The truth you outline, God has a purpose, a plan, and even a time for everything that happens in our life. Everything operates on God's timetable. And this is what I never forget. Solomon Ecclesiastes 3 gives us 28 times of life. And it's this cross-section of our days and the days of our loved ones here on this earth. And you go back and you can look and you'll see, he says there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to heal, a time to kill, a time to build, a time to tear down, a time to laugh. There is a time for weeping. There's a time for dancing. There's a time for mourning. There's a time to gather. There's a time to scatter. There's a time to search. There's a time to give up. There's a time to keep. There's a time to throw away. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time for peace, and there is a time for war. My life and your life, ladies and gentlemen, is a series of contrasts. That's my life, and that's your life. There is a time, he says, to be born and a time to die. God begins with the two events in each of our lives that all of us experience and are totally out of our control. I had absolutely nothing to do with the day of my birth. It was done to me. And I have absolutely nothing to do with the day of my death. I don't control either one of those. But what God says is, he said, I want you to understand there is a time for you, for your spouse, listen, for your children, for your grandchildren. There is a time for each of us to enter the world, and there is a time for us to depart. And no matter what you say or what you do, those times are already set. And we can hasten our exit, but I cannot stop the appointed day of my death, and neither can you. The days of our life, as I've said, are the combination. There's good, bad, negative, positive, pain, joy, tears, laughter. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. That is huge. Notice, God says everything is beautiful in its own time. What does that include? It includes everything that comes into my life. Does that include financial reversals? Huh? Isn't it one of the most difficult things in our life when we have financial challenges? When we have a financial insecurity? Do you know what God says? God says there's an appointed time where I'm going to bless you with prosperity. There are also appointed times in your life where things are going to be leaving your hands and you're not going to have any control over it. Is God doing that arbitrarily? No, God is doing it because he said it is a test to see who you're going to trust. Is your trust in the number that's in that bank account, or is your trust in me? Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. There is a time for loss in my life. There is a time for illness. There is a time for sudden death. God uses it all. Ray Stevens misquoted scripture. You remember his song, Everything is Beautiful? I won't put you through that. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Remember that's what he said in the song? That's not true. That's not biblical. God does not say everything is beautiful in its own way. He says everything is beautiful in its own time. In its own time. Cancer isn't beautiful. Ever. It's not beautiful. Rape isn't beautiful. War isn't beautiful. But God says, I can bring beauty out of the pain of these days, out of the loss, out of the confusion, but I will do it in its right time. I will take what is not beautiful and I will bring good to you out of that. That's the truth of Ecclesiastes 3. Solomon says there is a time to love, and he said there's a time to hate. How can that be true? The Bible says sometimes hate is an act of love. We don't ever hate people, but we should hate at times what they do. We hate what they do. The Bible teaches us that we hate prejudice. We hate injustice. We hate when people's civil rights are violated. There's a time to hate when unborn babies are being murdered. You ought to hate that. In Proverbs 6, there are seven things God hates. In Malachi, it says God hates divorce because God knows what it does to people. There's a time for peace. And he said, there is a time for war. And sometimes war is the only alternative when tyranny is violating human rights. It's a time to go to war. And the point is, there are these 14 positive and 14 negatives, and both groups have a place in my life and yours. And the events of my life and yours serve a purpose. And at the right time, God says, I promise you, I will bring good out of what you're going through. Which brings me to number three. Trust God in confusing times. I want you to listen closely. In His Word, God says, trust me when you don't understand the days of your life. I want you to trust me when there's no answer as to why what's happening or why what happened to you. I want you to trust me. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so man cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Now he says, God has put eternity in your heart. What does that mean? It means that you and I have this desire deep within us that we want to understand the events of our life. We want to understand, why did this happen? Why did this not happen? Then he says, yet man cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. God, why are you doing this? Why did you allow that to come into my life? Why have I lost this? Why is this not taking place? We want to understand the why of the events of our lives. But our brain, listen, my brain is not big enough, and neither is yours, to handle all of God's plans. It is not. And I go into hospitals, I go into situations where people are sick or where there's been an accident or where a young one or somebody has passed away, and people will look at me and say, why did God do this? You know what my answer is? I don't know. You know why? Because my brain is not capable of handling why God does the things that He does. If I could figure out all of God's ways and why He does and permits, I would be God Junior. And that's the point. I don't understand. And some of the events of our lives aren't pretty. Some are ugly and painful and devastating. And they are hard to understand. Would you agree with that? Amen. So what is the answer? The insight in your outline. In the perplexing events of our days, often all we can see is the pain from this broken world. And God's only response to our cry for understanding is, trust me. And at the right time, I will bring good out of your pain. Because my Father is in control, guys, that means that everything in my life and your life is Father filtered. It doesn't mean that all the events of my life are necessarily God's will. Listen to me. Some of you maybe have had a challenge of feeling close to God because you feel like God took something from you. God took my spouse, God took my child, God took my health or whatever. Not everything that happens in my life, in your life, or the life of our loved ones is God's will. And you're saying, that doesn't make sense. You're talking about the sovereignty of God. I am. Listen to me. Many things happen in the lives of God's kids that are not God's will. When someone sins against you, that is not God's will. God's will is not for someone to sin. When someone gets cancer, must be God's will. Who said? Where's that written? When someone that you love is in an accident, a car accident, or whatever, and they die, well, it must be God's will. Who said? Who said? We are to pray. Why does the Lord teach us? This is how you pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why does God want us to pray that? Because the only place the will of God is always done is in heaven. But Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why pray that? Because God's will is not always done. God doesn't cause sin. God doesn't cause all of my problems or yours. God doesn't have to. You and I are quite capable of doing all of this on our own. Thank you very much. You and I and the actions and failures of other people bring a lot of problems to the doors of our life. And here's the truth. God allows, permits problems, and then uses them for a greater purpose. My Father will not permit anything to happen in the lives of His people that will ruin His ultimate plan for you and me. That's what I know. Nothing's going to happen as I walk with Him that will ruin His ultimate plan. Let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul was a servant of the Lord. and he was faithful. God could have kept Paul out of prison at Philippi. Remember, he was there. It wasn't God's will for the people to reject the word of God. It wasn't his will for the people to violently come against the preaching of the Apostle Paul and for Paul to wind up being in jail. It wasn't God's will for him to be jailed. It wasn't God's will for him to be beaten. But God permitted it. Why? Because in his imprisonment, a lost jailer became a Christian and everybody in his house. And so God used the sin of men to bring a blessing to the life of somebody else. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You see how God is working? And as a result of the suffering and the pain of the Apostle Paul, the Philippian jailer is in heaven today, and his family as well. And today, there are some of you probably are struggling understanding how your trouble, your pain, serves a greater good. I want you to remember this. You want to understand. You want to know. I get that. But here's the insight. We are at times shut up to faith. What does that mean? There are some things in life we will never understand this side of heaven. Why do people die at a certain time? I don't know. We all die eventually. Why now? I don't know. But God has a plan. Why do young people who chase after God get cancer? I don't know. Disease is not God's will. Our diseases are part of our family genetic makeup. And God permits what will not ruin his plan for our life. That's my comfort in having cancer. That's my comfort. I know it's not my Father punishing me. I've sought to do his will. To do what he wants me to do. Not perfectly, but with my whole heart. I've sought that. And so my having cancer, why is it? Because God put me in a family with a genetic predisposition. That's why. And it came down to me. And the reality is my cancer does not interfere with God's plan for my life. And it doesn't mean God doesn't love me. It doesn't mean God has forsaken me. It means I'm human. I walk on this planet, and my disease in my body is able to be a part of my testimony to the grace of God in my life. God has a plan. God is good. And though he doesn't send it, he permits it. In the insight you outline, we need to affirm our faith when we cannot see the end from the beginning. And you can do that this morning. Determine that you will trust because you cannot see. And here's what God is saying. He's saying, don't make snap judgments. Just because you look at something and it doesn't look fair and it doesn't look right in your life, understand, you don't know everything. Jesus said in John 13:7, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand. Why does the Father keep things hidden from us? When we ask, why is this happening? Why don't we get an answer? Here's why. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to learn to trust me, that I am God and I do everything well. And I don't send disease and all the sinful things that happen in your life, but the things I permit because they will not mess up my plan for you. But I will bring good to you, and I want you to trust me. And it may be this morning that the events of your life have hemmed up your faith to where that's all you've got. And I want you to understand, God is, that's exactly where he wants you. I read about a husband and a wife who were Christians, and they had a premature baby. And for 4 months after the birth of that child, there was a 200-to-1 chance that the child would survive. For 4 months, that little baby struggled to live in an incubator. Every day, the dad said, we thought, will he die or will he live? And someone asked him, how in the world did you handle that 4 months of stress, not knowing from day to day if your child would make it. And this is what he said. He said, we just kept saying to ourselves over and over, our God is in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Father gives and he takes away, and it's his right. Our Father is a good God. He's a good God. And I will not doubt in the darkness what I cannot see. I will trust him. And so, closing in your notes, God's purposes in my life and yours are sovereign. And so never forget, our plans have a limit. Number two, because God has a plan to do us good and not evil, God has a purpose in the good and the bad times. And then number three, because God is a father to us, we can trust him in the confusing times of our lives. Knowing this, one day we'll understand. One day we'll understand. Let's stand together, would you please? Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Remember to pray about what God would have us to give for missions. That is always the goal, to spread the gospel and the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. People need to hear messages like this, who gives meaning and direction to their days. Thank you for praying for all of the work that's here on the Hill. We look forward to next week as we celebrate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And I hope we'll just fill God's house and worship he who was born at this blessed time. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your plan in our lives. And this morning has caused us just to be still and to think about where we are and to realize nothing happens in our life by random, because we belong to you. Our lives are part of a plan. And you control the ups and the downs. You control the darkness and the light. You control all of that. And you're a father. And ultimately, there are going to be those days where our only choice is to trust you, because you're trustworthy. Thank you for being a father to us. And thank you for the ability to leave here today with peace in our heart, that our God is at work in our lives. And I may not understand what or why, but I know he plans good for me. And so we thank you, Father, for your love and your guidance in our lives. And we pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning.